Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union.
Are the orange and blue skies parting now that we know that Julius Randle is out for the rest of the season? Woj is standing by with the latest on New York's state of mind. And the Bucks, they suffered yet another shocking loss last night to the Grizzlies. Is it time to panic in Milwaukee? Well, I know where we shouldn't be panicking. Iowa, Caitlin Clark continues to take the world by storm. Hear what she had to say today ahead of one of the biggest games in women's basketball history. NBA Today starts right now. Breaking news this morning, the Knicks will not get Julius Randle back for a playoff run. He will undergo season-ending surgery on his right shoulder. Our senior insider Adrian Wojnarowski broke the news and is with us now. Woj, how did Julius and the Knicks arrive at this decision?
Hey, Malika, ultimately, Julius Randle, you know, in his consultation with, you know, the Knicks doctors, with other specialists, it kept coming back to the same thing, that he was risking further injury, perhaps even lasting injury on that shoulder if he came back and re-injured it, versus getting that procedure done now and being in position to come back, you know, around the start of next season. But certainly Julius Randle exhausted every avenue to try to figure out a way to come back and play, rejoin this Knicks team that when he and OG Anunoby had played together for that brief window, 12-2 in their 14 games together, and certainly his understanding, you know, that this was a team that had a chance, you know, to make a real run in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But in the end, for Julius Randle, despite trying in lots of different ways, exhausting, you know, every avenue,
yeah,
that medically he had to get this procedure and not risk maybe perhaps more significant injury in that dislocated right shoulder.
It's admirable in some ways that he wanted to go through every possible avenue in order to return. You and I both know that for many years he was known as an iron man in this league, but well, he did get hurt in January. So why did he wait so long before making this decision?
Malika, essentially to just do what, you know, we discussed, the idea that if there was a way he could come back, if there was a way that his shoulder could, you know, sustainably get through, you know, this season, get through a physical playoff series, multiple series, he wanted to play. And that ultimately it was just not strong enough to be able to withstand. You know how Julius Randle plays. He's a physical player. And the idea that he could further injure that shoulder, knowing that this is a Knick team, that they can have this group back next season. They could be one of the favorites in the East. Certainly, right, they've got to re-sign OG Anunoby this summer. But it got to a point, I was told, with Julius Randle where if he waited any longer, he was now risking, you know, maybe missing more of next season than he needed to. So they decided finally now get this procedure now. And the hope is, you know, he can be back, you know, around the start of the 24-25 season.
Right, and that's so important to not just lose a portion of this season, potentially the most important portion of this season, but not next season as well. This is, though, Woj, as you know, such a bummer for Julius Randle. He takes such joy in being out on the floor. And this happened when the Knicks were up by 17 points in a game in January. So Randle posted this on Instagram this morning. He said, "The journey is the journey. Just keep going. It is what you think it is," with a couple of emojis there. This is NBA Today, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union. And this is just, there's no way else to slice it. It's a huge blow for the New York Knicks. This felt like a franchise that was revitalized this season, guys. They had some early successes with the play of Jalen Brunson, Kendrick Perkins, Brian Windhorst, Zach Lowe here with me as well. Brian, I mean, how devastating is this for the Knicks?
Well, I think the team had kind of come to terms with this over the last week or two. Mm. They knew that he had stopped really progressing with his rehab. I think it's important for fans to know that timeline that Woj outlined. It wasn't like Julius could have immediately had surgery in January and then been back.
Right.
He had to go through this. Going through this process left the door open for him to return. But I think what the Knicks now are looking towards is, can OG Anunoby get back? Because while this team was absolutely at their best with OG and Julius playing, when OG has played, they've been a terrific team. And OG brings some of the things that Randall is now not going to be able to bring. So if they're able to get OG back, which is, you know, still on the table, I still think there are some matchups that are favorable for the Knicks. I still think they can have a playoff run.
Well, it's about time. I think it's about damn time when it comes down to Julius Randle. I was wondering what was taking him so long, because as a guy that had, you know, 4 shoulder surgeries, I know how that process goes, and it don't end well when you try to rehab and come back. You have to go and get this thing repaired, and it was the right decision for him. And I know as a player, you want to try to do everything in your power, right? You go see you opinion from one doctor, and then you go get opinion from another doctor, and they both tell you the same thing. But as a player, you're like, nah, maybe I could fight through it and defeat the odds, but that's not it. But as far as the Knicks, look, the organization, the Knicks fan base, as the mayor, I'm telling
mayor every, New York
yeah,
City.
Yeah, I'm telling everyone to keep a cool booty. It's okay. It's okay. And I understand the window. Like, if you look at the window of the opportunity right now for them to maximize in the Eastern Conference, how vulnerable the East look outside the Boston Celtics, you're like, man, we had a shot at it. But you could have a shot at it next year. And also, they have developed a culture that has become eye candy to the rest of the league. Now, I understand we could, Wendy, Malika, Zach, y'all could dive into the first apron, second apron, and all that. I don't really know the logistics behind that. But what I will say is that if you get a disgruntled superstar this upcoming offseason, New York is a great destination for one.
But you're already punting to this offseason when this is a team that we were talking about making it to the Eastern Conference Finals potentially.
Yeah, because, look, let's be real. When I look at the East, they still could make it to the conference finals, but the Knicks want to make it to the finals. And in order for them to get past the Celtics, they need everyone. And even when OG Anunoby gets back, he's not going to be 100%. He's still going to have problems with that elbow.
This is a crusher.
I love it when you're shaking your head when I say
when I nod. You like it when I nod. Yeah. This is a crusher for this season. Going forward, you're right. But for this season, I thought the Knicks at full blast could have been the second best team in the mm-hmm. East and the team best positioned to push Boston really hard in a playoff series. There's still a roadmap for them to be really good. They're plus 10 per 100 possessions when Brunson plays and Randle doesn't. You mentioned Anunoby, and the two of them plus the rest of the team without Randle is still a good team. But I just don't think the ceiling is quite high enough to push Boston. In the playoffs against the best teams, you need as many dudes as possible who can create their own shot from nothing. And Julius Randle can do that. And like Perk said, we don't know what condition OG Anunoby is going to come back in, if he's going to be able to stay healthy, how long he's going to be able to stay healthy, and all of that. So for now, it's a crusher. Long term, the Knicks have turned the page completely. They are in ideal position mm-hmm. going forward. It stinks.
OG Anunoby has been dealing with that elbow issue, that elbow injury. Woj, what more can you tell us on if we can expect him back and in what condition, as these guys have brought up?
No, exactly. And I think, and Zach said it, the question is getting OG Anunoby back and being able to have him healthy and keeping him back. He did return for a brief period, you know, after that early February procedure on his elbow, and the inflammation, the irritation returned shortly after. What the Knicks are trying to do with OG Anunoby now is to bring him back when he's ready to stay back. You know, certainly looking at the big picture of the postseason, and they don't want to have him in and out of the lineup with this injury. So they're giving this injury time to heal, to get past that inflammation, irritation. Mm. And the hope is still that he can return. And when he returns, guys, that he can stay back and they can count on him being in the lineup and not in and out. And I think bringing him back the first time and then seeing him go out, it gave them a sense of how this injury was healing and how they would have to move forward with it. I think they learned something from that. And now they're trying to get him back in a way that allows him to remain on the floor and not be in and out of the lineup.
Do people realize how valuable OG is? I know we do, but do the fan base and, like, you know, people out there in the outside world realize?
Well, he's like 15-2 when he plays. Yeah,
he's the second most important player on this Knicks team, and that's including Julius Randle. Like, with Julius Randle, no OG Anunoby, they're a really good team. OG Anunoby puts them into the team as far as title contenders.
See,
like, that's how much he moves the needle.
I agree with you on the ranking of the players, because if you're going to have the ball in Jalen Brunson's hands a lot, and my God, is that dude good, you want the ball in his hands a lot. A guy with OG Anunoby's skill set, 3 and D and A-plus at both of those things, is theoretically, and I think realistically, a little bit more valuable than a guy with Julius Randle's skill set.
Right.
But I think for this team to really get where they want to go, which, as Perk said, is conference finals and maybe finals, they need everybody. They can still do some damage in the playoffs if OG comes back. That's how good they are without him. But I just think their ceiling went from here to here, and that's the difference between Boston feeling threatened and not.
Right, because right now the Knicks, they currently sit as the fifth spot in the Eastern Conference, and there's really just a two-game cushion between them and falling into the play-in tournament, as you can see here. Tonight's game against the Kings, it's going to be a big one. But Perk, you know what's also huge?
What's that?
Caitlin Clark in Cleveland, preparing to face UConn in the Final Four.
LSU has captured its first national championship.
I don't think it's going to set in for me for quite some time. I understand we came up one win short, but I think we have a lot to be proud of.
There can only be
not a Clark. Three at the buzzer. Not again.
My goal is to win the national title. Plain and simple, that's what I want to do. Being so close last year, I think that's what just drives you.
You know, the job's not finished.
So Caitlin Clark in Iowa, they are in Cleveland this morning preparing for tomorrow's matchup against UConn and Paige Beckers. And earlier today, Clark was named the AP Player of the Year. She was just one vote shy of being a unanimous selection. And Clark and Beckers, they both spoke ahead of their Final Four meeting. Take a listen.
I think being here last year, you're not really prepared for everything that goes on outside of the game. There's so many distractions. There's so many events you have to attend. You're playing in the biggest basketball games of your career. So I think being able to block all that out and really lock in and focus on what your job is and what you're here for, and, you know, knowing we're not satisfied. Honestly, I've never talked to LeBron, like, directly, but obviously I've seen he's commented about myself, and I just saw this morning he talked about women's basketball in general and how good the game is and the stars in our game, and coolest thing, one of the greatest players of all time, really helping support and grow women's basketball. Like, that's exactly what we need.
I think it's more important for the game to share the spotlight, to grow the game and show all the stars of college basketball, and not just focus on one particular player. Whether it be me, Caitlin, Juju, Angel. Honestly, hope next year I'm not the vocal point and the only person that gets attention. And I hope as media, as players, we can spread the love a little bit more.
So you can see the matchup and the full women's Final Four right here on ESPN. NC State and undefeated South Carolina started off. That's at 7 o'clock Eastern. And then we've got Paige Beckers and UConn versus Caitlin Clark and Iowa. That is at 9 o'clock.
Was Paige shooting shots?
She's going to be tomorrow. Still to come on NBA Today. Perk.
Yes.
Don't look now.
I won't.
The Lakers are rolling. How they can replicate their conference finals run from last season. Plus, the Pelicans, they are slipping. They are slipping down the standings, and it is the wrong time to do that. And to add insult to injury, or really injury to insult this time, Zion, he was hurt late in this game. Hear what he had to say about that. And the Celtics, they've officially clinched the best record this season, Zach.
They did?
But when?
I thought that happened like a month ago.
They'd be the number one on Big Perk's big list of legit title contenders. Find out next on NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission.
There are just 10 days left in the regular season with all 10 seeds really up for grabs out west, at least the order of them. It's time for a little West Coast edition of Coast to Coast, so north to south. So we're starting, though, in our nation's capital. The Lakers, they got their fifth win on their six-game road trip. LA has now won eight of their last nine, Zach. Are they the best stretch? Is this the best stretch of basketball they've played all season?
They've taken care of business against bad teams. A couple good teams, but mostly bad teams. That's what they're supposed to do. But, yeah, they look good. They're 10 games over 500 now. They're a legit pretty good basketball team. Still nine.
Legit pretty good basketball team. All right, up, we're going to go to Phoenix. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, they combined for 72 points in a win over the Cavaliers. The Suns, they're back in sixth right now. Perk, do you think that they can keep this going and avoid the play-in tournament?
Oh, no, they're 6-2 in their last eight games. KD and D Book balling out. I still think they're still in this not to get out of the play-in tournament, but to actually make noise in the West, and they're not going to do that unless Bradley Beal is a part of this offensively.
Well, how about the Magic? They handed the Pelicans their third straight loss. New Orleans has tumbled from fourth to seventh in less than a week. And on top of that, Zion left the game early because of a finger injury. So, Brian, how concerned are you about the Pelicans here?
Well, it looks like he avoided major injury. You're always worried about these finger injuries, but certainly the Pelicans are losing ground. They've been suffering without Brandon Ingram. Their offense has really taken a step back. But how about we put some respect on Paolo Banchero's name? He had another terrific game last night. He's had a terrific season. Improved his shooting, and they need his offense, and they got it last night.
So given all of that, this is what it all looks like in the West as of now. So just two games separate the fifth-seeded Mavericks and the ninth-seeded Lakers. There are only 10 days left for all of this to get sorted out. But one thing is for sure, and this is wild, Luka Doncic, Kevin Durant, Zion Williamson, De'Aaron Fox, LeBron James, Steph Curry. At least two of those names that I just rattled off will be sitting at home when the playoffs get underway. Not one, at least two of them. So we knew the Western Conference was loaded when the season started. We knew that this was going to be a wild finish, and there was always bound to have teams with real championship aspirations not make the playoffs at all. But Perk, I want you to fill in the blank here. The team who it would be the biggest disaster if they miss the playoffs is who?
The team that we talk about the most, the team that have arguably the greatest player of all time, the Los Angeles Lakers. This is a team that actually went to the Western Conference Finals last year. And for them not to make the playoffs, and they brought everyone back. They brought their core back. They re-signed Anthony Davis. You re-signed Austin Reeves. You re-signed Jared Vanderbilt, D'Angelo Russell. So for you to bring that core back and you don't make the playoffs, it would be the biggest disaster out of all those teams. So Phil Handy, Braun, Phil Handy, my guy, but I had to call him mine.
I'll tell you what the Lakers do have. They have some draft picks, and they have some tradable salaries and a little bit of flexibility to do stuff in the offseason. You know who doesn't have that?
Phoenix.
The Phoenix Suns. This would be the biggest disaster of all these teams. The Phoenix Suns went whatever is more than all in. Phoenix, like, put the chips in, put their mortgage in, put their cars in, they're all in, and they are trying like hell just to get out of the play-in tournament. And look, they may make it, and they'd be dangerous if they get in the playoffs, but to me, and if they don't make it, it's just Kevin Durant's going to be 36 soon. Like, they're running out of time, and they went all the way in, and they got no outs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way as Zach does. Like, yes, the Warriors are disappointing this year, especially if they don't make it. They've got four titles with those guys. The Lakers, even though you think they maybe should have achieved more with LeBron and AD in this stretch, they have won a title. They don't need this to prove it. Plus, as you said, they can improve their roster.
the Suns are locked in. And I'm not sure, if you look at the rules and the second apron and all that stuff, I'm not sure that they can really do much with this roster. The two of their key players, Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal, are free agents. They can't, you know, trade them necessarily. So I think Phoenix has got the most in play, and they're playing well. I think they're playing with some urgency over these last few games.
But, you know, and I look, if that's how y'all feel, that's how y'all feel. But to my point is, it just goes to show you how great the Western Conference is and how trash the Eastern Conference is. Because, look, all these teams that are in the play-in tournament right now are like 11, 10 to 13
exactly
games
right.
above
you're
500.
Exactly. Phoenix is 14 games over 500.
That's what I'm saying. So then,
they were in the East. They'd be fighting for home court in the first round right now. The Lakers are 11 games over 500. They would be smoothly out of the play-in in the East. It's not like these are failures. Obviously, they've underachieved, but it's not like these teams have collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, back in the East, the Bulls and the Hawks are 36-40, battling for 9-10 in a game that nobody cares about.
But the East, the top of the East, too, is still a little bit shaky, and we need to get into that because coming up on our show, Milwaukee. Kendrick,
yes.
Do you see what happened last night?
I did.
Are they headed for another first-round exit for the second consecutive year?
I was actually here with you watching the game.
Well, the Bucks back-to-back collapses. See what that says about who they really are. And when Brian is worried, I'm worried. So find out which star absences concern Brian the most. Plus, Andrea Carter, she's here, and she reveals the key Iowa needs to beat UConn in this final four game for the ages. NBA Today will be back after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union.
Doc Rivers, he called the Bucks unprofessional. That was when they were on the road and they lost to the Wizards. That was Tuesday. So they were back home last night. You would think against a depleted Memphis Grizzlies team, it would be a little bit better. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, it wasn't. The Bucks, they were double-digit favorites in this game, with Giannis Antetokounmpo facing off against Gigi Jackson and JJJ. It started promising when Giannis was doing things like this. Woof, perk.
I mean, that's when Giannis at his best, going out there and not worried about embarrassment and just going contest shots at the best.
No fear at the rim. But then in the third quarter here, Giannis taken out of the game late in the third, and the Grizzlies just took advantage here, Zach.
Yeah, Triple J, this is up. People forget the Grizzlies are going to be back next year. This is a good team, another good team in the West, and Triple J's experience as the number one guy is going to help.
And they dominated in the paint. Yeah, we're talking about a team that was the number two seed in the West last year.
Brandon Clark sighting. Good to see him back.
Good, great to see him back.
Fourth quarter here, 5 minutes left. The Grizzlies up 93-90. Jaren Jackson Jr. launches from deep, gets that one to go. And then a minute left here, the Grizzlies up 106-99. Jaren Jackson Jr. from the corner this time. And that would be dagger. 35 points, 4 rebounds for Jaren Jackson Jr. And the Grizzlies get the win. Giannis 21 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. But here's the thing. The Grizzlies really attacked the Bucks inside. They scored 78 paint points. That is the second most allowed by the Bucks in a game this season. And it's a troubling trend for Milwaukee. They also allowed 70 paint points on Tuesday against the Washington Wizards. So whether or not Dame and Chris Middleton are in the lineup, which obviously last night they weren't, this Milwaukee team, they probably should not be losing to the Wizards and then the Grizzlies on back-to-back nights. What do you make of this, Zach?
Yeah, you got to beat those teams. I'm not going to read too much into it because two of their top four players or two of their top three players probably were injured. Not a big panic game. But look, Boston is 13 games ahead of everybody else in the East. Like, that's a joke. And the big picture here is New York, we talked about big injury blow. Cleveland's been under 500 since they were 35-16. Milwaukee is doing Milwaukee things. Orlando's a nice story. I don't think anyone is super scared of them in the playoffs. Two takeaways from that. Number one, as things stand today, if Boston doesn't make the finals, it's a disaster. We already knew that. Number two, there's a little window here for Philadelphia. It's realistic if they can get to the right seed in the right matchup and Joel Embiid's healthy. They are not to be trifled with because these other teams are not separating themselves.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Okay, you have the Boston Celtics, and then it's the Milwaukee Bucks right under there, and then it's everyone else. So, Zach, you can't tell me another big three that you're taking outside of the Celtics over Dame, Giannis, and Chris Middleton, right? We look at the Miami Heat, what's going on with Tyler Hero? We haven't seen him in a while. He's been injured. Okay, you look at the Philadelphia 76ers. Are you taking Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and Tobias Harris? I'm not. Okay, then look at the sixth man. You got Bobby Portis. Any sixth man in the Eastern Conference you're taking?
So I just want to make sure. I know you said you weren't concerned yesterday about this perk, but we're talking about back-to-back losses to the Wizards and the Memphis Grizzlies. That's just par for the course for a team that has championship.
Look, here's why I'm not concerned. I'm not picking them to win the East, but I'm saying they're still, in my opinion, especially with the news of Julius Randle, the uncertainty of OG Anunoby, like, it's no real competition for them. And they still have time. I'm looking at their schedule right now.
Okay.
They play the Knicks. They play the Bucks.
Okay.
They play the Magic. I mean, they play the Celtics, the Magic, the Thunder, the Magic. So they have time to actually get some signature wins.
But all of those teams are better than the Grizzlies and the Wizards.
I understand that. But when they're fully healthy, they have shown us since the All-Star break that they're capable of having signature wins.
But to your point, I think that this happens over the course of an 82-game season. You don't want it to happen on back-to-back nights against the two teams of this caliber. But when you look, they're 1-7 without Damian Lillard, and they were without him last night. And guess who else they were without? Patrick Beverley, who's been dealing with another injury. When they don't have those two guys, they don't really have anyone else, Brian, that they can bring in.
Okay, at the end of the day, the Bucks will be evaluated on what they do in the postseason.
Correct.
No matter what seed that they get. And when they traded for Damian Lillard, what they were trading for was a guy who could deliver at the end of a playoff game,
mm-hmm.
who could carry them home. So the question really is, when they get into playoff settings, are they going to be able to contain the ball in the perimeter? That's an iffy question because they haven't been able to contain it most of the season. But when you have Giannis, you're going to probably be in just about every game. And then can Dame carry them home? When they get into a series with the Celtics, which I think ultimately, despite what we've seen by the Bucks, is what's going to happen because they do have the most talent.
I agree.
Can they keep games close enough where Dame can put them over the top at the end? That's a yes or no. We're going to get our answer on that. And, you know, the Celtics should beat them. They would be favored against them. They are going to be the underdog coming into that type of a series. I don't have a lot of faith that they will be able to do it, but I'm also not ruling them out. I still think that they have the same array of options that they had at the beginning of this whole thing.
I'm going to answer Perk's question.
Okay.
He asked me, are you taking Philadelphia or Miami or any of these teams over the Bucks if they're healthy? To answer your question, no, I agree with you. I think the Bucks are the biggest threat to the Celtics. They're plus 16 per 100 possessions when they have Dame, Middleton, Lopez, and Giannis on the floor.
Yep.
That team is still in there somewhere. All I'm saying is the level of inconsistency we've seen from them, if I'm a Philly fan, if I'm Joel Embiid, I at least say, okay, if I draw that team or any other team but Boston, I feel okay about my chances. That's all.
No, you should feel that way, right? If you're on the outside looking in or if you're in the organization, you should want to match up against the Bucks first round if you could.
Here's the thing. The Bucks have problems the first round everywhere. They're either going to have Philly, who has Embiid, when that would be an artificially deflated 7 seed.
Right, and if they're having the paint struggles that they've had in these two games, they can't have those here.
For sure, but it's more like guys dribbling in than anything. Two, they could end up playing the Pacers, who've owned them this season.
Right.
Just crushed them.
4-1. And took the game ball? Who took the game ball? I can't remember.
Yes, there was the game ball gate.
Or they could face the Heat, who beat them in the first round last year, without Tyler Hero last year, by the way. So they're going to have a hard go of it no matter what. And they're just going to have to pull up their pants and go to work. That's just the way it's going to
be. I hope they pull up their pants.
Yeah, I was going to say, no one needs that. I want to take a move on from the panic meter and pull it up the pants in Milwaukee
meter.
And shift to some other teams, Brian, who you are a little bit concerned about. It's time now for Wendy's Worries. So first up, we're going to look at Kawhi Leonard, who's listed as out tonight against the defending champion Denver Nuggets. Remember, this is coming off the heels of Clipper star being sent home to Los Angeles. That was prior to Tuesday's loss to the Kings that was in Sacramento so that he could get treatment on his right knee. The Clippers, they are 500 since the All-Star break. So how concerned are you, Brian, about Los Angeles?
Here's the problem. I assume Ty Lue will give an update on Kawhi tonight, but when it comes to Kawhi knee injury updates, the Clippers are a little bit difficult to fully believe because he once had an ACL tear and they listed him as day-to-day. And they listed him as day-to-day last year in the playoffs. He ended up needing surgery. And unfortunately, both of those surgeries were on his right knee, which is where he's having problems here. This is a huge issue in the Western Conference, especially since Kawhi has dominated the Dallas Mavericks in the playoffs twice, I believe, in the last 3 or 4 years. That's who they're lined up against. If you're Dallas, you're holding your phone up, waiting for an update on Kawhi and that knee. That is a huge issue there. And I'm also worried about James Harden. James Harden missed a couple of games earlier in March with a shoulder injury. And he's come back and not been the same player. I mean, this is a guy who, no matter what happens, has always been able to score. Not only is he not scoring, he's not even shooting. He played 36 minutes the other night in Charlotte and took 3 shots. The last game they played in Sacramento, even without Kawhi, he took 7 shots. He's only averaging about 12 points a game. 12 points a game. I understand that he's playing a different role now, but especially without Kawhi, just 12 points a game over these last 9 games. I am really worried about Kawhi's knee and whatever is going on with Harden, which I suspect is his shoulder, but something is holding him down.
There is exactly one player on this team who has earned the right to say, I'm a flip-the-switch player, and that's Kawhi Leonard, who's the one dealing with the knee injury. The rest of this team cannot sit there and say, oh, but we went 26-5 2 months ago. Right. The playoffs are starting now, and we did this whole segment earlier about what's the biggest disaster if they don't make the playoffs to this and that. We didn't talk about the Clippers because they're a little above the tier of teams we were talking about. If this team bows out in the first round, they take the disaster cake because they are all in as can be, on a team that just hasn't accomplished as much as they hoped it would be when they traded everything to put it together. Look, I don't know what the update on Kawhi Leonard's knee is going to be. I suspect we'll get it tonight. I suspect it'll be vague, and so we'll just have to see. But this is like, they got to get that pop back, and they don't have it.
This has been the nail biter all year long. Okay, if they can be healthy, that's an if. They were playing well, and now this is the exact time that you do not want to see that. They are not the only team, though, in the West, Brian, that's dealing with injuries, or someone else you have your eye on.
Keeping an eye on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's missed 4 of his last 5 games. He's been healthy all season.
Right.
He's missed 4 of his last 5 games of this quad injury, and those tend to linger. And if you even go back and look at the games he's played recently since he started dealing with it, his scoring has really fallen off. He's only averaged 19 points in those 4 games. This is a guy who scored at least 30 in 50 of the 71 games he's played this year. He scores 30 no matter what. His scoring is way down. Even the other night, in the one game he's played since this injury really was an issue, he hit the game winner in New York, but he didn't have a great game by his standards. So I don't think it's a huge issue, a long-term issue, but I'm keeping an eye on how healthy he is, because the Thunder are probably going to be having their hands full in whatever first-round opponent they get.
Right. All right. So that's the West. What about the East?
Okay. So Donovan Mitchell did play a little bit better for the Cavs last night, even though they had a 20-point loss in Phoenix. But he openly talked after the game about how much this knee injury is affecting him. His statistics from before the All-Star break to after the All-Star break are stark. He's had to shut things down with this knee injury twice. He told Cleveland.com last night that he's basically hoping to get 1% better every single day between now and the playoffs. He feels a lot of pressure to be at a high level in the playoffs. He's really been limited in his ability to attack the rim. You know, look at that difference in the statistics.
Yeah, that's... Whew.
And specifically the field goal percentage. I mean, he's a guy who can really get to the rim and get a lot of free throws and get up high percentage shots. Hasn't been able to do that. That's really worrisome for a team that, if he hadn't had this injury, they would have taken the 2 seed from the Bucks. But they're in 3 right now, mostly because of those stats.
Well, look, we hope that he get well. But at the end of the day, from what I'm watching with the Cleveland Cavaliers, They need to come into Jesus' meeting. And I don't know if they had it last night or when they're going to have it, but before this season ends, they need to air everything out in the locker room, no coaches or with coaches, and get it together. Because the team that I watched last night didn't play with spirit, didn't play with joy, and you can't have that. Right, you got to have the best version of Darius Garland. You got to have the best version of Evan Mobley. I don't want to look in guys' faces from watching the game and look like they're defeated or they're not enjoying one another. You could tell the teams that are on one page. Just look at the bench when they're not playing. You can see the guys if they're chest bumping, if they're high-fiving, if they're playing with passion, if they're engaged or not.
You know what's interesting about that?
What?
You brought that up at halftime last night.
Uh-huh.
And in the second half, throughout the second half, the Cavs' whole bench was standing up. I suspect that you weren't the only person that noticed it, that J.B. Bickerstaff got into them. They actually went on a run, and their whole bench was standing. It was too late because they were facing a real tough challenge, but I think you're onto something there.
The Cavaliers, these teams have a couple of weeks to sort out everything heading into the postseason, but the Final Four is already upon us. And coming up on NBA Today, the question is, right, what is the key for Paige Beckers and UConn to stop Iowa's high-powered offense that's led by Caitlin Clark? Andrea Carter, she stops by to tell us more.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Well, at least it went out with a bang.
Bang! It went out with a bang!
Mike Breen?
You said bang. That's my line.
Well, I meant more of like an electrical fire bang.
Like this?
Bang!
No, like bang! 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 Bang!
That's a pretty good bang. But what are we going to do about this bang?
Oh, you don't need a catchphrase. You need a jingle. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm is here to help.
Bang!
He really went out with a bang.
The NBA on ESPN, presented by State Farm.
I've always wanted to be in these moments and have confetti fall down on me.
It's a time of the year where there's more pressure than ever before.
This is what we do. National champs right here.
It takes a special player to be able to handle all that. Some can and some can't. Everybody's going to tune in to watch, see whether they can.
Promise 40 more minutes. Might as well go win it.
The women's tournament, it has taken the world by storm, and here to help us break it all down, it is our fabulous do-it-all analyst, Andrea Carter. Thank you so much. I know it is cold in Cleveland, so we will try to keep this brief, send you some hand warmers. But I do want to start, Andrea, with UConn versus Iowa. We get Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark in this one. How is UConn trying to stop the NCAA's all-time leading scorer?
Oh my gosh, so this matchup between Paige and Caitlin is going to be electric. It's something we saw their freshman year when they were going back and forth between who was going to be the freshman of the year that season. I know everyone is wanting Paige guarding Caitlin. Everybody wants to see it. And Paige is an elite defender. Paige has great defensive instincts. She's extremely long. She can read the defense. She can jump in passing lanes. She can deflect shots. She can block shots. She's a great defender. However, there's a player on Connecticut's team named Nika Mule. Yes, you see video here of Paige guarding Juju Watkins. Paige took on the assignment of guarding Juju, and she handled it extremely well, but it's because Nika Mule got in foul trouble. Nika Mule is a 6-foot guard. She was 2023 Big East Defensive Player of the Year. She's my personal spirit animal because she is just a dog. So I think we'll see Nika Mule on Caitlin Clark first in the tournament, Malika. When Nika has guarded people one-on-one, she's held them to 25%.
Yep.
I'm not saying you're going to hold Caitlin Clark to 25%. I don't think it's possible, but I think Nika will have the assignment first to at least try to make life difficult for Caitlin, and I think Paige will also be able to step in.
Well, you mentioned Paige's defensive prowess, but let's not get it twisted. She is also a bucket, so what does Iowa need to do to slow her down?
Oh, my goodness. So, Iowa, they're going to have a tall task at hand in defending Aaliyah Edwards on the inside and limiting Paige Beckers on the outside. But Iowa, let me tell you this. They are so good at defensive scheming and taking away teams' strengths. What was LSU's strength? Angel Reese on the inside. Look, three players. Crowd Angel Reese, they did a great job of it without fouling. You see Hannah Stolke there, 45 in white, just hands straight up, make life as difficult as possible. Iowa, their goal. And then what they're really good at here is getting the ball out in transition and flying to the other end of the floor to get wide open shots. This is going to be part of Iowa's plans because UConn, they're so limited in terms of their depth. So they'll try to get defensive stops, take away the best option. Again, what was LSU's best option? The inside play, the post play. Angel Reese here, trying to get the ball to her. You can't. Look at Hannah Stolke battling. You see Angel Reese needs to get the ball, and you end up getting a tipped pass from Gabby Marshall, who gets the steal. Iowa defensively, they scheme. They could do something. You could see a triangle and two. We've seen a box and one. Those three right there, Gabby Marshall, Caitlin Clark, Kate Martin, they lead the country in starts. They're second in the last 25 seasons in starts together. Over 130 starts. So they're veterans. They have high basketball IQ. Defensively, I think we'll see a few different schemes to take away UConn's biggest strength, which again is Paige and Aaliyah on the inside.
Andrea Carter, one of the young coats of this business. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here on NBA Today. We're going to be seeing you all over the network in our Final Four coverage. Enjoy Cleveland, my friend.
Thanks, Malika.
Our action-packed ESPN April, it rolls on tomorrow with the Women's Final Four starting at 7 o'clock Eastern. And then we have Sunday Night Baseball featuring the Astros and the Rangers and hockey. That hockey night on ESPN, the top two teams in the West, the Stars at the Avs. Before we bounce, some news from the G League. Stockton Kings head coach Lindsey Harding was named the 2024 G League Coach of the Year. Now, Harding earned these honors after leading the Kings to a league-best 24-10 record in her first season. Harding is also the first Black woman to hold a head coaching position in G League history. So congratulations, Lindsey, for winning Coach of the Year, and thank you for paving the way for women around the world. ESPN's next Wednesday doubleheader, the Heat hosting the Mavs at 7:30 Eastern, and then the Timberwolves, they are in Denver to take on the Nuggets. That should be a good one. Coverage tips with NBA Countdown, that's at 7 o'clock. And legit there.
Too legit to quit.
NBA Today is presented by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission.
Breaking news into ESPN. Adrian Wojnarowski just tweeted that Knicks forward Julius Randle will undergo season-ending surgery.
They had a chance to get to the conference finals against Boston.
If they're healthy. So far, we haven't seen them healthy.
That's the difference between them winning series and losing.
Damn it!
Our condolences, Stephen A. The skies are a little darker in New York. I'm not going to lie today with the news from Woj. Julius Randle will undergo season-ending right shoulder surgery. Hopefully he can make a speedy recovery. Brian, can the Knicks overcome the loss of Julius Randle and make a deep run in the Eastern Conference?
They could still get, if things fall the right way, they can still get to the conference finals. I believe that.
Could they, Zach?
Yes, if things fall the right way, i.e. no Boston and some luck, and B, they need Ananobi healthy and playing 35, 40 minutes a game. That's a lot of ifs, and if ifs were fifths, we'd all be drunk.
That's it.
If
That's
ifs
correct.
Were fifths,
Hennessy
we'd all...
Also right.
Well, Kendrick, you have been pouring the Hennessy in New York all season long. You have been the mayor of the town. You have been celebrating them. Do the Knicks fall on your big list of real, well, legit title contenders? Well, Perk named this.
We are about to see, but look, it's your big fella here, yours truly, okay? Big things popping right now. We got the NCAA tournament. The women's are doing it big. So, damn it, Big Perk got to do it big. And it's that time of the year to put the real big list up here, legit title contenders, because we're inching towards the postseason. Coming in at number five, I don't want everybody to say, Perk, what you doing, what you tripping on, because it's not your list. Bam! It's mine. The LA Clippers. And look, I know they've been struggling of late. but they're going to get it together. You know why? Because Ty Lue is leading the charge, one of the best coaches in the game today. Do I have faith in Kawhi Leonard Jordan that he's going to be healthy? I believe he will. Do I have faith in Paul George that he's going to elevate his game as a number two option? Hell yeah. Do I think that James Harden is going to elevate a little bit? Yes, absolutely he will. They have the depth, they have the coaching, they have the star power. The West is vulnerable outside of the Denver Nuggets. I got them at number five. Come on, Zach. You said Perk. I'm ready for my Bam.
I'm ready
for it when I walked in here. Well, damn it, give it to me.
Bam!
There we go. Put it up there. The Milwaukee Bucks, the second best team in the Eastern Conference. I know they've been struggling, took some horrible losses, but they still got Giannis, who is the most dominant player in basketball. You have Damian Lillard, who's the best closer in basketball. You also have money-making Middleton, who has been healthy. Brook Lopez will turn it up a notch and get back to the Brook Lopez of stretching the floor offensively and anchoring the defense of being a great rim protector. Come on, Wendy. I know you was on my travel schedule, but I like
BAM!
Hell,
and you did it right. You know why? The Minnesota Timberwolves. Yes, I have them up there. And I know we don't know if Carl Anthony Towns is going to come back or when he's going to come back. But you can play around with these people if you want to. Anthony Edwards, McDaniels, Mike Conley, Naz Reid, they want all the smoke. And they're anchored by another Frenchman. And I'm not talking about Wimby. I'm talking about Rudy Gobert on that defensive side of things. They're the number one defensive team in the league. It's going to carry over to the playoffs. That's why they're number three. Come here, Malik.
I don't know if I can run like Wendy.
There we go.
Bam!
There we go. Put it up there. The Boston Celtics, the best record in the league. Some may say the best starting five in the league. Jason Tatum has been playing phenomenal. Jaylen Brown has been doing his thing. Kristaps Porzingis leading the league in post-ups. He's been efficient. Derrick White and Jrue Holiday, we know what they're going to bring on the perimeter.
Right.
Peyton Pritchard coming in off the bench, being a spark. But look, we got to pay respect because, you know, with all this I said about this team winning 60 wins, having home court advantage, they have lost to this team. Bam! The defending champs. Whew! The Denver Nuggets. First team all whack body, Jokic. He is the problem. This man right here, not only is he the best player in the league, but he's probably, arguably in my eyes, the best center to ever touch the basketball skill-wise, being able to do it all. And when I think about this starting five with Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Caldwell Pope, the continuity, the chemistry, they got it done before. So again, big things popping, and this big Perks, real legit title contenders.
Real legit, too legit to quit. No Oklahoma City on this list.
Yeah, but this list is good. It's great.
We're going to ask the people what they think. Pretty good
list?
I don't care what the people think.
If he says it's great, it's his list.
Yeah, I don't care what the
people think. It's real legit, too legit to quit. That's going to do it for us. We will see you tomorrow right here on NBA Today.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.